True wealth isn't just what you earn. It's the life you live and the legacy you leave. I want to welcome you to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, and I'm the founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. And today, I've invited my daughter, Julie Ellenbecker, to be a guest with me on our show. What we'd like to really do is talk about generational wealth. And it's something that she and I are talking about all the time and something that we talk to our clients about. And so welcome to the show, Julie.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
This is one of the rare occasions that we both get in the same room and we get to talk our little hearts out. So Julie, when we talk about generational wealth, and of course we're looking, for me, I'm looking at my own life. I'm looking at your life. I have your children, which are my grandchildren, and I have my great-grandchildren, two great-grandchildren now. So in my life, I have these four generations.
It's wonderful. Isn't that such a blessing?
You know, it's so funny because my brother and I, he teases me and says that I have all these generations, and he got married so much later than I did. And so his grandchildren are the same age as my great grandchildren. So we all have different life paths. We all have different families. And so looking at generational wealth, looking at passing generational wealth is really different for every single family.
And it's really an important topic today. If you can't turn on the news or open up a magazine and not hear about this great generational wealth transfer. And I think it's really important to understand that every generation looks at wealth differently. And also, we've been raised in different environments. You know, one of my favorite questions to always ask people is, you know, what was your first money memory? And when we talk about you being in your 70s and me being in my 50s, which I want to say, Udira, about as well, and my children being in their 20s, we all look at things really different. We have different goals. In your 70s, your goals are leading more towards legacy and some of the things you said in the introduction, what really matters and what will your legacy be. My goals in my 50s tend to lean more towards security and the importance of being able to take care of myself. And a little bit in the sandwich generation too, because people in my generation have parents that sometimes they're taking care of and then children that they're still taking care of. And then of course in our 20s, my goal for the kids in their 20s and the young adults is to be empowered.
Are you planning on taking care of me?
Someday I will, of course. Of course I will. I've been taking care of you in truthfulness.
You know,
it's very different. You know, we all look at it different. And generational wealth transfer is one thing, but just generational wealth in general, we all think so differently about money.
Well, for me, and you had mentioned about the importance of leaving a legacy, one of the concerns that I know that I have and many people in my situation have is passing that wealth to our children. And are they going to be able to manage it? Are they going to be able to grow the wealth? Will they, I want to say squander it, but if they don't really have that that background in management of money, or if they're not good fiduciaries of it, if we as parents or grandparents haven't really talked to them about that, it can be a frightening thing to pass money that you've worked so hard for or a legacy to children that might not be able to manage it.
Absolutely. And I think that's why it's so important to have these conversations with the emerging investors, the people in their 20s and 30s and 40s who are getting started. I speak with my clients a lot. And in today's environment, you know, generational wealth transfer from when you were, you know, your parents were planning for that, it was different. It was very important for that generation to leave an inheritance. It felt very important. The people I'm talking to now in their 60s and 70s who have young adult children, they're wanting to do more lifetime gifts because they're recognizing how the environment is so different and their children are having a hard time getting into homes or paying for daycare or some of the other things.
Saving for retirement.
So it's very different. I think, you know, your parents, my grandparents, it was very different. They really were, it was important to them to leave an inheritance. That was important. Now what I'm really recognizing and working with my clients is that it's important for them to help their children now. And that's really different. Times are different. It's much harder to get into a home. It's much harder to pay for some of the heavy expenses. And so I'm seeing this whole transfer actually taking place during lifetime, which is interesting.
And I know for myself, and I've talked to you about this, is I really like for my grandchildren of giving them opportunities and experiences. And some of the things that maybe are more difficult for families who are trying to save and are trying to get into a house, paying for ballet lessons or hockey lessons, or you can pay directly to a dentist or a doctor to help them out in different ways. So there's so much planning that can be done, but so often people don't even know what questions to ask.
That's true. And when you think about it, you don't know what questions to ask, and every circumstance is unique. So there isn't a one shoe fits all. But let's talk a little bit about legacy planning. And I want to hear a little bit more about how you feel being in the age group that you are and how you look at legacy planning and what's really important. And then I want to take some time to talk a little bit about what do we think about for those of us in our 50s.
We'll take a break and we'll be right back.
Want to keep building wealth that aligns with your values? New episodes of Money Sense drop weekly. Subscribe now and continue learning how your money, your choices, and your life can work together.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, and I am the founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. And my daughter, Julie, is here. She is the president of the Ellenbecker Investment Group, as well as the senior wealth advisor. And one of the things that I always say is we really do have the best jobs. I don't know if you call it a job, but for me, it's really not. It's really a calling. The way I approach my clients, the way I approach my business, the way I approach, we talk about return on investment. And I really also like to talk about return on community, how we can combine all of these different things. And Julie, you alluded to that's really an important piece in your generation. And I think the reason that is because my generation has really modeled that for you, and to be able to see the things that you can do that really make a difference. And I know when we talk about my age and we talk about where I am in my life, it really is important to me to try and figure out what's most important. What are the things that I can do that will solidify my family and help my family, but also the community, my business? What are the things that mean the most to me? And I really, Julie, feel so empowered by the fact of being able to do something for my kids or my grandkids that they might not be able to do, and knowing that they have such appreciation and joy, helping a child pay down a mortgage or helping them with a business or maybe getting a new car that's safe or helping them with things that really will improve their life. I'm not a great component of just handing money over, but I think that really taking the time to pause and ask yourself, where can you make a difference in this world? And sometimes it's right in our own front yard. It's our own children that we can help and empower them. And I know a lot of people worry about, and I have been in that same camp. I want my kids to be able to be self-sufficient. I want them to be responsible. I want them to be able to save. But I see so many kids now that really do struggle with trying to get ahead. It's really hard. And so I think when we can help them, or we can make those conscious decisions to help them, that's really important to me. The other thing that is important to me is modeling the things that that are at the top of my list. So giving back, being able to bring something to the community, being able to help others. And one of the things, as you know, we've done now for about 8 years, I think, is on Thanksgiving, every one of my grandkids, I give them a certain amount of money, and they can give that money to a charity. And you can give any amount, $25. I think I've worked myself up to now $1,000 a year that each one of the children get, and they give it to a charity. And in the beginning, everybody would say, I'm going to give it to Hawes, or I'm going to give it to something that was very familiar. Now they're starting to notice in the community things that they can make a difference in their classroom, things they belong to. So I think the important thing when we think about legacy is, what are we modeling? Sometimes we do things, and I know you've said that you didn't really know what I was doing in my life until you gave me that wonderful gift so many years ago of balancing my checkbook. You saw the things, you said, Mom, I didn't even know you did all that. I think sometimes we don't talk about the things that we do, and that conversation can be really powerful. But for me, it's the legacy is more about what I'm leaving of myself, my humanness, the person I am, than the financial things that I might be leaving.
Well, it's been really fun watching you evolve into so much more thoughtfulness around legacy, right? For so many years, you were focused on growing a business and raising your children and your grandchildren and all of these other things. And in the last decade or so, you've been really more focused on a legacy and what really matters. We've always known that money isn't everything. We've always understood that legacy is important. And watching you over these last, 10 years or so, really developing your legacy, I would encourage our listeners to take a look at our webpage at ellenbecker.com and read some of our newsletter articles. Karen writes the second newsletter article every quarter. And that's what this theme has been consistently over the last several years, is talking about how valuable time is. And the less time we have, the more valuable it becomes. And it really has prompted a lot of our clients to focus on what they want to do with the rest of their life. And so you've spent a lot of time talking about how important time is, how important legacy is, how important charitable giving has been in your life, and then now the lives of your children and grandchildren. And I think that's something really cool about where you're at and the generation that you are, because you've been able to see a lot. You've been through a lot. You grew a business from nothing. You raised children with nothing. And you've now come into a time in your life where you can really focus on what matters. And it's wonderful that you share that in the newsletter. So I've gotten more feedback on your newsletter articles than any others, because I think that's consistent. People get into their 60s and 70s and beyond, and they think, what really matters? It's not about the value of your 401k. It's not about, the size of your house. It's not about, the clothing you wear. It's about what you are putting back into the community. It's about your children, your grandchildren, your neighbors, your other organizations that are important to you.
Well, the truth of it is, Julie, and when I die, I guess that's the, if I die, when I die, it's something inevitable for all of us. And I feel that maybe, if I'm lucky, two generations, my great-grandchildren and maybe their children might know of me. But the one thing that will stay and stay for generation after generation is the values that you have, are the things that you have really demonstrated, because each one of you, I see it in you, I see it in your brothers, how much you give back to the community of your time and financially. And I know that I see our grandkids by giving this money back. And now I've started the great-grandchildren. Those are the types of things, the work ethics, the values, be it your own spiritualness, whatever it is that is important to you. Those are the things that are going to go for generations and generations and generations. Those are the things I think that really matter.
Well, and the real gift is that you're here and you get to think about these things. Because me, being in my 50s, and I'm going to speak on behalf of a lot of other clients and individuals in this age group, I'm 52 years old. I've got young adult children. We're in the launching phase, and it's very different. We don't have necessarily the luxury yet in our life to think about only legacy or to do such substantial charitable giving. And so it's wonderful that you are able to model that for us. And this generation, this younger generation, is we're still trying to grow wealth and make sure that we are protected for our futures and secure. Security is really important to people in their 50s. As they're ramping up in their career, they have maybe 10 more years to work. Security is important. Philanthropy is is becoming much more important to this age bracket as well. We're starting to have a little bit of extra funds to be able to start thinking about what does a charitable plan look like for our family.
It doesn't necessarily have to be money. I see how all of you, my children, have always given of your time before you had the financial resources to give money.
Absolutely. And like I said before the break, I think it is very different today. When I was in my 20s, I lived in an apartment. I was able to pay rent. I was able to save for a house. I was able to save for a car. I was able to pay towards a wedding. All of those things on a regular job. Today's environment is much more challenging for the younger generation. I sit with clients every single day. I have kids in their 20s. The cost of rent really prohibits people from having the ability to save towards a house. Whereas my first apartment, it was a house actually, and it was $500 a month, and I split the rent 50-50. I was still able to save a little bit. I was able to do those things. When I had my first child, you know, childcare was very much more affordable. Now I listen to my clients, and luckily some of them are able to even help out with their grandchildren babysitting, but it's almost unaffordable. And so the times are a little bit different right now. And I think what I'm recognizing is people in my age group and the 50s and the 60s are saying, I want to save for my retirement and I want to help my child get into their first home. And I want to help pay for my child's education. Paying for college was so much easier 20 years ago and 30 years. Well, I suppose it was a lot longer than 20 years ago, but, you know, 30 years ago and 40 years ago, paying for college when I was there was much, much different. And so I'm seeing that the generation of people in their 50s and 60s are having to, in some cases, take care of their parents. And in many cases, still trying to help their kids launch much later than when I was launching in my early 20s.
I think kids are coming forward with more debt than they had before from college and from education. You know, Julie, it brings up a good thought that I just had. Is you're talking about how much you've had to save and you're still saving and you're still looking at your retirement in your early 50s. And I'm in a totally different position. And one of the things that has given me such peace of mind and has given me this opportunity to give back in so many different ways is that I know when enough is enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that in my generation, one of the things that I spend a lot of time talking to clients about is really trying to understand when enough is enough, because so many of my generation, their parents really went through the market corrections. They had a lot of things that happened to them. And so they hold on to their money. I think of Uncle Tony and Auntie Fran holding on to his money so tight out of fear that he might not have enough. And one of the things that I think is really important and that gives you peace of mind and gives you the freedom to be whoever you want to be is really understanding when you enough is enough. And we have so many clients that have so much more than enough. And we have clients saving, but there's that sweet spot that you get and say, I have this much money and now I can do this.
Well, it's very difficult, as you know, going from more of an accumulation phase to a distribution phase.
Yes.
And the unknowns are scary because we don't know what healthcare is going to cost. And so we can't ever say enough, you have enough, because we don't know. But yet, you know, you don't also want to be the richest person in the graveyard, because that certainly isn't what you've worked all your life for. So it's a harmony. I don't even call it balance anymore. I really call it harmony, because there is no 50-50. Balance implies it's equal right. On one side. If you work 41 hours this week, you only have to work 39 hours next week. That's balance. I look at it as harmony, because there are going to be ebbs and flows in life where things cost more, where things are a little bit less, where you have to help people differently. Seeking harmony is really important, and it's hard to do on your own. It's wonderful when you have a spouse or a partner or a loved one that you can bounce a lot of ideas off of. That's what I think people love about working with a wealth advisor like us, because we can help you determine how to have that harmony as it comes, as it relates to finances. I tell clients all the time, your biggest problem is not that you're not going to have enough. It's that you're not going to be able to spend enough, not because they have millions and millions and millions of dollars, but because they have got it ingrained in their psyche to save, save, save. Now, one of the questions I ask in almost every single meeting is there anything you're not doing simply because of money? Because that tells me a lot. If people are not getting a safer car or updating a car, or they're not going on a vacation, or they're not traveling to see their grandkids as much as they would like just because of money, then we really want to get in and dig in and help them do the things that they want to do and still feel confident from a financial perspective. The world changes. And so the way I feel about money and the opportunities that I have are very different than the opportunities you had or didn't have. And they're very different from the opportunities that my kids are going to have. And so it's important not to think one shoe fits all, because in this situation, it really, really doesn't.
When I look back 40 years ago, when I got into the business as a traditional stockbroker, we had maybe 50 or 60 mutual funds to choose from. We had a few baskets of stock. And now the world has just gotten so big. And not only just big in the terms of the different types of investments that are out there that we can use, but just in terms of the world trading and in terms of computers and technology and the moving so quickly. If you remember when you used to come in the office with me, we had the ticker tape across the top and we used to stand and look at that. Now we can have two or three different screens on our desk. We can be doing so many things. I think that it's so much more complicated for people, and being with an advisor, being someone that you trust that could help you walk through all these things is really important. But the reason I bring that up is that I was talking to my granddaughter on the way in today, and she was telling me that I needed to take a class on something. And I said, but I don't need it. I have you. And she says, but Nana, I keep telling you, you keep doing it wrong. And I thought the idea of her, she can do it so quickly, and she only needs to hear it once, and she can maneuver all this. And for me, at my age, I need to do it a couple more times than that. And that's just the difference of how the world is and how your generation and your children's generation, my grandchildren, how we are all approaching the things that we do as well.
Well, we've talked a lot about the differences between your generation and my generation. And one of the things I want to make sure we have time to talk about today, which I'm really excited about, is something that all of your generation and my generation will want to embrace. And that is how to help the next generation feel educated, confident, secure, help them make the right choices. There is a huge gap in information that our generations, yours and mine, are not passing on to our kids. The lower generations in their 20s and 30s, they're getting information off of social media. They're getting information off of, TV and their friends. And one of the big things that I have been pushing, and I'm so excited to launch this coming year, is us as professional financial and wealth managers, what kind of information can we make readily accessible for people in their 20s and 30s? I call them our emerging investors. They are earning money. Their outlook on life and job and retirement is so different than our outlook. I am incredibly optimistic about this generation. I love this generation because they, I think, are doing it right. They're looking at things differently. They are learning differently. They are not motivated by the same things we're motivated with. And what I want to do, and my big mission and passion in the coming years, is to get the information out to them so that they can do it better and do it faster and do it more efficiently and more successfully than we were able to do. So let's take a break. And when we come back, let's talk about the emerging investors, because that's something we all want to invest in.
My guest today that you've been listening to is my daughter, Julie Ellenbecker. She is the president of Ellenbecker Investment Group, and we will be right back.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group. If you're looking for a trusted partner or ready to elevate your financial plan, you're in the right place. With multiple Better Business Bureau Torch Awards for ethics and integrity, Ellen Becker combines expertise with a team member you can trust. Meet our advisors and explore financial resources at ellenbecker.com.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker. My daughter is here with me today, and we always get teased by her husband, Tom. How can you guys talk so much together? Because you're always together. But the truth of it is, when we're working, we're in the same building, but we're not necessarily always together. So it's a real pleasure for me to spend this time with you, Julie. One of the ways that you've been looking at this emerging investors group of people for quite some time. And I know many years ago, we started with a real campaign of helping our clients' children. And that has been such a gift, because I know a lot of places don't want to work with you until you have a sizable amount of money to invest. And we really wanted to invest in those kids. And so we have our own little area of working with the kids, not only just on investing, but these kids start a new job and you're overwhelmed. I remember being overwhelmed, and you work with the human resource department and they give you a packet and say, here are all the things that you can have. And I put it on the side of my desk, not even barely looking at it, because I was so energized to learn what I was doing at the business. And so we made a commitment that we would help our clients' children get the best out of their benefits and help them to save money and to get into the retirement accounts and understand the importance of that. But you then decided to take it to another level. Why? Tell me what you were thinking. Tell my listeners what you were thinking.
Well, you know, one of my greatest pleasures is leading and mentoring individuals to help them get to their fullest potential. And, you know, when we started Ellen Becker Investment Group with, you know, one client and one phone and a couple employees, our business was very different. Our model was structured very differently. But we always had the same goal in mind. The most important thing was to give our clients the best possible information, education that we could, and to help empower them. And so over the years, as we grew, we met with many consultants, I'm sure you remember, and many times they would sit down with us as our business got larger. And they would say, you can't afford to sit down with people who have less than $1 million. You guys have to put minimum investment sizes in place. That's how you're going to grow your business. And I remember you and I walking out of those meetings, and just it felt yucky. We were never going to put these minimum investments in place, because you and I both just inherently felt that every single person deserves financial planning. And so we really bucked against that system for a long time. And to this day, we have not put minimum investment sizes into play. Now, that being said, I'm the president of a company that manages, you know, billions of dollars in assets, and we have many, many clients, and we need to be smart. We need to be smart, just like we expect our clients to be smart with their investments in their portfolio. We need to be as well. So what we've created and what I've worked on and been really excited to launch this year is a solution for those young emerging investors who do not have a lot of money to invest, so often don't have an opportunity to sit in front of a seasoned wealth manager, but still have really, really important questions
and goals.
And the earlier we can start people thinking about their finances, the better off families are going to be. Corporations are going to be, the community is going to be. This is not just about helping one person, you know, learn how to inherit money well. This is about going back into the community and giving this information and education and empowerment to people so that it can be better and our society can be better from a financial perspective. So what we have been working on over the many, many years, and I, again, I'm so excited about it. It goes all the way back to my first college degree in education, and it's the emerging investors solution. And so what we have here now, and we've just launched the Wealth Seed, which is on our webpage under ellenbecker.com and some education area, but it's all these 10-minute podcasts that focus on really short bits of information on important topics. So for example, there's a 10-minute podcast on powers of attorney. Why is it so important for people to have a power of attorney? Most people 18 and up don't even know what it is, but everybody 18 and up needs one. And so we created a 10-minute podcast on a power of attorney, and then we've given action items on how it can be done. And we help individuals do that. I have a a deep team here that focuses solely on emerging investors. And so they are willing to talk with your children and your grandchildren and your neighbors and anybody who needs and is open to financial planning. Our ideal client is not somebody with a certain amount of assets. Our ideal client is somebody who values relationships and education. And so those are people in their 20s, their 30s, their 90s. And so we've wanted to create this solution. We started with the podcasts. We have a team here that is willing to work with those individuals in a way that's very affordable and that can help them get started. We have a list of books on our webpage now that are broken out by age group of what's most important. It's not too early to start talking about financial planning tools and using Acumen with a five-year-old. It's not too early. You just went and spoke with Jasmine's preschool last year and taught them about saving and spending and giving away. So five is not too early. And it's also never too late. It's really important that people have somewhere to go for this information. We are always happy to take a phone call. We're always happy to sit with somebody. We've created a solution so that everybody gets the services that they need at where they're met, exactly where they are. But it is one of those things that I think we can all agree upon. If we can help people feel more confident financially at when they're five, and then when they're 10, and then when they're 16 and looking to maybe buy their own car, or they're too afraid to ask their kids for gas money, their friends, those are all tools that we can start at a very young age so that when they are in their 20s and then where I'm in my 50s and you're in your 70s, you know, they feel a lot more confident around finances.
Well, it would be curious just to pose a question out there to our listeners as to how many of you feel confident walking in into an advisor, walking into a firm and talking about money, because I grew up in my family that we never talked about money. Money was not a subject, and it was almost like my parents felt that that was so private for them. So we never had those conversations. And very often we'll sit down with a couple and one of them will say, I really don't have an interest in it. He or she does it all. We would like to think that these emerging investors, these emerging individuals, are going to feel comfortable having those conversations. They're going to go towards the conversations rather than walk away from them.
I'm amazed again with this generation. They do talk about money. They have no problem splitting bills appropriately. They have no problem, saving money, negotiating. I'm amazed because you're right. That's very generational. Your parents now would be in their 90s and hundreds. They didn't talk about finances. Mm-hmm. You never asked. Could you imagine asking your dad how much money he made? I mean, that would have been so taboo. And then it changed as you were raising me. Those became more common conversations around the dinner table. We talked more about finances. At one point, you mentioned it early, I was balancing your checkbook in my late teens, in early 20s.
And so what a great gift that was.
That was very different. And my generation is the same thing. We have been talking to our kids about money. We have been sharing with them about, jobs and how much people earn and how to negotiate and those types of things. And so there's so much changing for the better. I think in a time where we're listening to TV and social media and we're hearing how things are not any better. I feel so differently. It's not hard to look to your right and to your left and to see some really, really remarkable people in that generation making a difference. You just have to look for them and you have to invest in them. It's important to invest in them. And that's what we're doing at Ellen Becker Investment Group. We are investing in the next generation of investors.
You know, Julie, I think about my own children, and I think about the idea of passing wealth onto them. And we have had these family meetings, and that's one thing that Ellen Becker does is we have a conference room, a family conference room, where we bring families together to talk about estate planning, to talk about wealth transfer, to talk about what their goals and what they would like to see happen with the money that they pass. And we have some resistance to it from some clients because some clients feel like my parents did. I don't want my kids to know how much money I have. I don't want them to be part of that decision. And some clients will say, I just want to start by talking about the estate planning and see how that goes and then move into the whole financial picture. But having those conversations are so important. And I've had them with you kids and you all know what's really important to me. So often, we've got clients that come in that inherit a large sum of money, and they say, I had no idea my parents had this much money. I had no idea that they had this wealth behind them. And they're almost frightened of it. They don't know exactly. They don't know if they could spend it. They don't know if they should spend it. They don't know what the parents really wanted. And they had no idea and would have liked to have said to their parents, knowing this, the appreciation they had for how hard they worked and what they saved. So it's like this big mystery out there that is confusing when you pass away and you haven't had these conversations. And unfortunately, I've had so many of my friends and people pass away without being able to plan because it was so sudden.
Yeah, it's hard. These are hard conversations.
They're very hard.
It's not easy for people. And we all have history. We all have memories. We all have information in our brains that are guiding us to have these conversations in different ways. And so there is no one shoe fits all. And I also
and inherited fears that come along with it.
Absolutely. And so, you know, I want to just take the last couple minutes here to talk about some action items and things that our listeners can do, because we've shared a lot of good information. And one of the things that I always tell people is you have to walk before you run. And so you have to take baby steps, you know, move towards this. We're in a new year. There's some exciting things that we're all thinking about. And I would suggest that you consider maybe a family meeting. You just brought that up. That's a great idea. We host them here for our clients. You know, it's an opportunity to sit down with your family members, your children, your grandchildren, and talk about how you want your legacy to be. It does not mean we put your net worth on the computer and show everybody what you have. We create those to be unique to where you're at in your journey of communication with the next generation. So sometimes we just talk about estate planning. Sometimes we talk about what kind of memorial service people want. Sometimes we talk about the money. But I would start those conversations and maybe get yourself set up. Think of your family as a company and think of having an annual board meeting. And the more information and education you can give to the next generation, the easier that transition is going to be on them. That's the best gift you can give. So one action item is to think about what would a family meeting look like for you. Call an annual board meeting, invite your family, and talk about things that you want to share and that you're comfortable with. Another thing is I would really encourage you to check out our webpage. We have a lot of information on there that I think is very, very valuable. You can look at our newsletters. Karen and I both write articles in those every single quarter. All of our newsletters are created right in-house. So it's a lot of very practical information, some of the things like we shared today. So go check out our newsletters. There's many on there. You can also subscribe to receive them. They're quarterly and they're wonderful. I would also subscribe to this podcast. This is a lot of information, and we'd love to hear from you on what you want to hear about and who you want to hear from. But subscribe to this podcast and share it with others. If there's somebody today that you think would benefit from this information, please consider sharing it. And then I am going to ask you to take 10 minutes of your day, go to our webpage and listen to one of the Wealth Seed podcasts. First of all, it's a little bit of a special plug because my daughter, Amelia, who is in her 20s and is the next generation, is the host of these podcasts. So she does a wonderful job. So listen to one or two or as many of the podcasts as you find interesting, because I think those are a great way to start peppering in information that you can share with your grandchildren, with your children. You can text them to each other. It's a really great way to start getting the next generation.
And starting a conversation.
To think about finances. Yeah. So those are just a few action items that I think would be a place to start.
And I'll throw in one more. We host a lot of different seminars here, and it's open to the public. It's not just for our clients. And so take a look at our calendar and attend some of the seminars. They're really good, and they're really focused on family and information and And we welcome all the questions because we always believe that we're also still learning. There is so much going on in this world that we want to keep up to date. We love the fact that our firm is very fluent, and when things change, we change. And so that's what this whole next generation, the seed of wealth, is all about, is we recognize that it's not about just us. It's not just us and our clients and what we're doing. It's really about doing something for the community and helping children, young children, really get a firm grasp on their financial stability.
It's so exciting.
It is exciting.
It's so exciting. Please stay tuned. Subscribe to the podcast. We're going to keep getting some really great information out there. And if you have ideas of things that you want to hear or events that you would like us to provide, please reach out. Let us know. You can find both Karen and my email and information at ellenbecker.com, or you can give us a call at 262-691-3200.
This has been a very exciting time in the world, and Julie and I have this opportunity to talk about these different generations and with our clients. And so I hope that you can tell the excitement that we have about this next new piece of our business, which is the wealth seed for young people. And with that, I want to say goodbye. Thank you, Julie, for being my guest, and just have an absolutely great day.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Money Sense, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. If you found today's conversation helpful, we encourage you to share it with a friend or family member, and be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode. At Ellen Becker Investment Group, we believe that education is the foundation of confident financial decisions. That's why we're proud to bring you insights from experienced professionals to help you build true wealth beyond just money. Please know, this podcast is intended for general informational purposes only and does not constitute personalized financial advice. Before making any financial decisions, we recommend consulting with a qualified advisor who understands your unique situation. For more resources, visit ellenbecker.com. We'll be back soon with more insights to help you live with clarity and confidence.